Now that Keith and Gene have given an excellent introduction of the field, I will concentrate on intermediate-age globular clusters and what they mean for what the impact they have on what we know about early-type galaxy formation scenarios. I guess I should stay on the side. Gene has shown this already, the fact that if you look very, very well with HST at giant elliptical galaxies, you often see these, you basically always see these bimodal color distributions, showing that there are clearly two major events, if you want, at least as far as we know from optical data, during the star formation history of these systems. Now, I'm going to concentrate on studying or testing, if you want, the scenario during which the metal-rich clusters are formed during gas-rich mergers, basically Keith's and Steve's model. What I like about it is that you can actually, they have predictions that you can actually test, which is why me as an observer, I found that interesting thing to go for. And there are a few things that are very important to show that this, whether or not this model actually works. First of all, you have to show that the initial mass function with which these metal-rich clusters form is steep enough so that they can still survive to become, you know, stay there at old age. You have to show that the metallicities there are formed in these mergers are such that they come up with about solar, which is what you see from the colors. You have to show that the luminosity function of the globular clusters, which is a power law, as we've seen from Francois' talk on Monday morning, will turn into a Gaussian, which is what we see for the old clusters, for instance, in our galaxies. We also have to show, although I might not have enough time, that they yield enough clusters to clarify the difference between the specific frequency of clusters in our galaxy, for instance, or spiral galaxies versus those in ellipticals, which are higher. And if we find in this study that it doesn't work, then we can refer to the other models. First thing, is the IMF steep enough to survive to old age? Well, the first thing that was found when those bright globular clusters were found in young merger galaxies is that when you actually look in detail at the spectra of the young blue globular clusters, there might be problems, but there might not be. Let me put it that way. Gene and collaborators looked at the young clusters in NGC 1275 and found from the Balmer line strengths that she couldn't, they were so strong that the Brugeon-Chalot models that she used couldn't provide enough Balmer line strength, if you want, to come up with the strength that they found, which is here the solid line for H beta, H gamma, H delta. The only way they could fit their line strength was to assume a very high lower cutoff for the IMF, about two solar masses, in which case, of course, those clusters wouldn't survive more than a few giga years, which wasn't so that, you know, that wouldn't have worked. However, as Francois showed on Monday, in 7252, that's not the case. The models, Brugeon-Chalot models, perfectly overlap the observations of the clusters in that galaxy. So I would say, you know, it could definitely work, but was still not quite sure that it could work for all galaxies. Another thing is the metallicities of those clusters have to be about solar to come up with what you see in old ellipticals, right? Well, the ages of those clusters were such that the metal lines are intrinsically very, very weak. Obviously, if you look at A-type kind of stars of half giga year old, you know, the metal lines are intrinsically weak, so you can't put extremely strong constraints on the metallicity. So really, to do that well, you have to go to older ages. Now, if you try to look for older older systems, what are you looking for, basically? What would you expect? Here is a B minus I diagram versus log age, and this is the B band absolute magnitude. What for four metallicities in the Brujon-Chaillot stellar evolution models, the metallicity is indicated here, and this is about the median metallicity for old metal poor clusters in our galaxy, and this is the range. Well, I added a little bit of extra range there because, you know, observations have a certain error, and that's put into their editing quadrature. And so if you, your second generation clusters would form at solar metallicity, they would only become visible at about 2.5 to 3 giga years. So you really have to be that old if you want to come out clearly in a B minus I color diagram. But on the other hand, if you look at the absolute magnitudes, here is the absolute magnitude of omega sen. I give omega sen as an example here. You stay well above that, up to about 4 giga years. So they will still be very clearly distinguished by having luminosity function going to higher luminosities. Just an example here, I also do this here for V minus I, and there it's much, which is what most HST observations have used. There the distinction becomes much more difficult. You can only see it, the second generation is about 5 giga years. How do you identify merger remnants of 2 giga years or older? Well, one way was pioneered by Francois in the early 90s, where he did a large survey of ellipticals and found that if you measure what he calls fine structure, which is basically a measure of, you know, how many ripples, shells, tidal tails, and stuff like that are around the galaxies, it does anti-correlate with the colors, in the sense that the fine structure, the bluer the color, and therefore, you know, they are likely to be younger than normal old ellipticals. One of such galaxies, which happened to be not in that survey, is Fornax A on the southern hemisphere, where Francois also did a lot of work on in the 80s. Here are a large photometric plates on that galaxy, where you can easily see these clear tidal tails here. But what caught my attention in this respect is this: if you look in at high, if you look very deep, you know, if you take the cuts very deep, you see this huge loop here, for which the crossing time, if a galaxy would come in at about 200 kilometers per second, which is the velocity dispersion of that group of the group, that galaxy group, the crossing time would be about 3 giga years, which is exactly what we would be looking for in terms of ages. So I'll show you some results from some of these candidate few giga year old merger remnants. NGC-1316, we've got with big two data, 3610, which is one of the two high fine structured ellipticals, 3610 and NGC-1700, where in this case the elliptical component was subtracted off, so you can easily see these tails in the outer regions. 1316, we went out to the NTT to find, first of all, global cluster candidates, and then take spectra. And this was the result. This is a V versus B minus I diagram, where the hatched area here is the what the global cluster system of our galaxy would lie. And interestingly enough, we found clusters that were slightly redder, which is what you would expect for a 3 giga year old. And they went indeed to higher luminosities. So That was hopeful. And indeed, we used spectra in the red region of the optical. We used the a diagram of H-alpha line strength versus calcium triplet, the very red region, which happens to be a very good method of getting rid of the degeneracy between age and metallicity, as you can see here. And turned out the three brightest clusters there, where we could get good signal-to-noise, they all fall in the 3-giga-year isochrone and around solar metallicity, plus or minus 0.1 or so. So that's, you know, we found the intermediate age clusters, so they did survive up to that age at least. And they are of solar metallicity. Then we started looking at the WIFPIC 2 data. Here's the CMD, B versus B minus I, where I overplotted two regions to guide the eye, if you want. If you look again at this B minus I versus H diagram with the location where you expect the galactic globular clusters to fall, that's where it would be. And that, you know, that corresponds to this part of the CMD. Likewise, if you do the same for a 3-giga-year-old population with about solar metallicity, this is what you would expect, and that's over there. So that fits, as you can see, the color magnitude diagram very well. Brett Whitmore and company did something similar for NGC 3610, one of the high fine structure ellipticals. And indeed, they do find some similar situation in which the redder clusters, which in this case is this way, extend to brighter magnitudes, okay, as expected for the merger model. Just as a guide to the eye, this is the absolute magnitude that omega sen would have at that distance. So they do extend to brighter luminosities. So this is the present status of the intermediate age populations that we find in merger remnants. As Francois showed on Monday, there was a huge gap between second generation globular clusters, which turned out to be started out from much bluer than the older metal poor clusters, to M87, where the opposite is clearly true. We now found three systems, merger remnants, where we see the intermediate age coming up at the right metallicity. So they're clearly forming an age sequence consistent with the merger picture. What about luminosity functions? We know that in merger remnants, young merger remnants, the luminosity function is a power law with about an alpha of minus 2, similar to the mass, similar to the power law slope of a mass function of molecular clouds from which they presumably form. But they, if you go to old ellipticals, the luminosity function is a clear Gaussian, as you plot it against the magnitudes. And obviously, if you want to form such a system from a merger, you have to get rid of the low mass clusters over time. If you look at merger remnant, intermediate age remnants, you see basically what you would expect, in that the blue clusters, which are the metal poor ones, the old ones, they do already show the turnover in the luminosity function. Whereas if you look at the red clusters, the intermediate age ones, they still show the power law. Same thing for 3610 by Whitmore et al. Blue clusters show the turnover, whereas the red clusters still show a power law-like behavior. Now, that's still a problem, right? So in a way that the red clusters, they have to at some point show a turnover to become like the old populations in old galaxies. So when can we expect that to occur? In how deep do we have to go? This is a model from Fallon Zheng, that will be discussed much more after the coffee break, where they start out with a power law distribution, power law luminosity function, and find that they find that the turnover occurs already after about 1.5 giga-years, just because of the dynamical disruption of the low mass clusters in the potential well. And interestingly enough, they also it's also found that if you combine those models with the Broussard-Chaleau luminosity fading, you find that the destruction rate in that region is about the same as the fading rate of clusters with time, in the sense that the number of clusters coming from higher luminosities to lower luminosities is the same as the ones from low luminosities that actually are destroyed. So you basically expect, if you compare that with a 12 giga-year-old metal poor population, you would expect a turnover that's about 1 to 1.5 magnitude fainter. And the HST attack was generous enough to let us look at the intermediate age clusters in 3610 and 3610 to about 2 magnitudes beyond that expected turnover. So we'll, let's say in half a year from now, we'll have an answer on that. Then quickly then, going through why going to the infrared is really helping out a lot in finding these intermediate age systems. As I told before, if you go just with the WFPIC 2 images, which mostly are doing V minus I, you can only find intermediate age systems older than like 5 giga-years or so. Whereas if you go to the K-band, the light is mostly dominated by giants, whose color is mostly dependent on metallicity rather than age. So combining this information with V minus K will tell you a lot about the presence of intermediate age metal-rich populations. So we went out to VLT with Isaac, the infrared imager, looking at all the southern E's and S0s at that time that had WFPIC 2 V minus I color distributions, so that we combine the resolution of HST, if you want, with a large color baseline out to K. And this is a subject of Maren Hempel's thesis at ESO, where I'll show you a few early results. Or this is actually already published. If you look at galaxies that have this clear bimodal distribution in the optical, like NGC 3115, and you look at the color diagram, V minus I versus V minus K, where, again, the Broussard-Chaleau models are overplotted here. This is 15 giga-years, 10, and so forth, down to 1 giga-year. And metallicity is mostly going along the V minus K direction. You see that the clusters cluster around an old metal poor population and an old metal rich population, as you might have expected from the clear bimodality in the optical colors. However, if you look at 4365, which Gene already touched on, you don't see that at all. You see a few, old metal poor clusters and a few old metal rich clusters, but actually the bulk of the clusters are in the intermediate area, which is consistent with about 2 to 5 giga-year old around solar metallicity, with some range, of course. And that is not dependent on, I should say, on the influence of the blue horizontal branch. That would not change these positions by a lot, or the grids in this case. So as you saw, Gene and company, Larsen et al., went out to the Keck and made spectra of these intermediate age clusters, as well as some old ones, or suspected old ones, and indeed found that was the case, basically. If you look at all the age-sensitive indices versus the metallicity sensitive indices, we do find that the bulk of these candidates are indeed intermediate age and solar metallicity. So, Kenred clusters have been formed during gaseous mergers. Is the IMF indeed steep enough for such clusters to survive? Yes, We've seen that because we've seen in the 3-gig-year-old population in 1316, as well as an intermediate age population of solar, more or less solar metallicity at least, in 4365 and 3610, although there was only one cluster of that in Jean's presentation. The metallicities are okay. They're all very consistent with solar, plus or minus 0.1 or so dex, the ones with spectroscopic measurements. And others have colors that are consistent with that, but need some spectroscopic follow-up still. The GCLF has not shown yet that it will turn from a power law into a Gaussian, but there is an ACS program coming to actually verify that. And then last but not least, I fully appreciate, or we fully appreciate that while this is very nice, you might think this is very nice results, you need more than two or three systems to actually make the picture, you know, to establish a consensus on this picture that intermediate age, that you can form these metal-rich clusters in mergers. Thank you.
One thing that hasn't been talked about in either none of these talks is the relationship of this metallicity distribution to the metallicity of the elliptical galaxy itself, which I presume is much better measured than these measurements. So can someone tell me how you understand that relationship, especially with this bimodality?
Right. Well, first of all, in most ellipticals, except for maybe SEN-A, you have to deal with the integrated light rather than individual stars. So you just see a range of colors that might be a range of age and metallicities, but you really can't tell. I should say that if you look at the distribution or the distribution, for instance, of the metal-rich clusters, which supposedly are formed during one of the major star formation events, probably together with most of the bulge stars. Or at least a lot of bulge stars, you do find that their radial distribution is very much the same as that of the bulge stars. So that's an indication that they might indeed have formed during the same event.
Yeah, well, I thought I did address that in my talk when I showed that the relationship between galaxy color and galaxy luminosity was the same as the relation between red globular cluster color and galaxy luminosity, and it's not just the slope; it's an
color
identical
itself.
Relation. So that, in other words, that whatever's the enrichment mechanisms that were going on when the galaxy itself formed were the same as the ones that were going on when the red globular clusters formed. That's just the red globular clusters. So the blue globular clusters are decoupled in that sense. So they form earlier than the bulk of the galaxy in a separate phase or epoch.
Milky Way provides an interesting commentary. You have a population of bulge globular clusters with the kinematics and pretty much the abundance distribution of the bulge. And they've also been shown by Ortolani et al. And then more recently by nice proper motion separation paper by Zoccoli et al. To be as old as the, say, the 47 Tuck aged group of galactic globular clusters. So those clusters are neither intermediate age, and they really do look like the bulge in every respect, at least in the Milky Way.
Right. I mean, the Milky Way is supposedly a much older system, so, you know, we wouldn't expect them to be. Oh, right. Right.
I think before coffee, I was going to try to link this to some of the other stuff in the meeting, and Lars mentioned this yesterday, and this will be the subject of talks tomorrow afternoon by my colleagues Aronov Kundu and Tom Macaron. But we really have massive globular clusters at all possible ages now, and what will get mentioned on Friday is there's Chandra imaging of all of these. So if you have any predictions for the X-ray binary properties of clusters as a function of age, we are publishing the data, so we'd be actually be very interested to know if people think that the properties of the, we only see the luminous X-ray binaries are if they evolve with age, if you always wondered what your simulation actually would look like at 5 giga-years, but it didn't matter because the Milky Way clusters are all Hubble time old. But we can now actually tell by comparing to these systems.
Stars in the disk?
You're talking about intermediate systems
now? Intermediate
age. These remnants are all looking like elliptical galaxies. I mean, there's no clear disk in the remnant.
There was a disk system that somebody mentioned this morning that with the faint fuzzies in them.
The faint fuzzies in.
No, I know you didn't mention that. But those are intermediate age clusters.
No, the faint fuzzies are old.
They're old too.
They're really old. They're just big.
I just wanted to caution against the color relationships you showed from going through the ages and showing that the two peaks shifted around. I just want to caution that just using color is dangerous as far as establishing an age. So redness and brightness in the optical don't necessarily mean youngness. So we really do need to follow up with either infrared or spectroscopy because I think it can be a little bit misleading.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Back at 11.